this session one on day four, we'll be discussing about scaling up our teams, meaning having people in our teams improve or grow. Okay, the reason why I suggested this talk is, or this discussion, is that I've seen and I've heard very often last year or last month that you go to a conference and you learn a lot of stuff, and then you go back and start presenting ideas, and these ideas well need some support, and then you need to train other people to just make them happen. But the same way I had to go through a learning phase to discover a new technology, a new language, a new anything, you have to somehow make the potential outcome appealing for the people to be willing to learn about it, right? I mean, a project can speed up, a project can improve by scaling out, meaning putting more people, or by making the currently available people better, smarter, more productive, or more, more with better abilities, right? I've been pushing for this second approach, whereas the management I've seen quite often was pushing for the other approach. I guess you all know what I mean. And so I wanted to hear from your experience, and I can also present some things I tried to put in place. So, show of hands, how many of you have suffered similar situations, trying to work with someone, trying to make someone investigate or learn something you've just discovered, but it didn't happen?
I think a lot of the time it comes down to the time. Actually having the time to learn something new, and you still have the time pressure of whatever project you're working on, and whereas your manager expects you to still deliver the same amount of work and be as productive. And you're now trying to learn this new language or new framework or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, I think that's a really big problem.
Then, you think someone in charge of a team should always allocate this slack time, so the people would. Okay. Any experience, any other...
I can tell you, in my opinion, the more junior people a person is, the less he is willing to learn.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In many cases I've seen that junior people are not that passionate yet. So, we are here. Why we are here in general, in this country?
Because we can afford it.
No, you could just sit on the beach without going every morning and listening to the technical session. You're smart enough, you're professional enough in your profession, right?
Uh-huh.
You can learn other languages, you don't need to be motivated, but you are here anyway.
And let me present the opposite argument, my experience, let's put it this way. I found that the least, when people were the least burned, or were the least brainwashed, meaning they just left university and started joining the company, the more passionate they were, the easiest it was for me to convince them to go to a local user group meeting. Whereas those who had been working for 5-10 years had just already given up. And so at the same time, the most young had less holidays, had less money, and so cannot, couldn't afford to talk to Crete or go to a conference across Europe or stuff like that. I understand your point.
But maybe I didn't make myself clear. Maybe it's not about the age of a person, but it's about the general attitude of a person.
That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think it's so much related to the age, but I agree with you that it's completely related to the attitude.
Yeah, I don't think it's related to age. I have seen this, that people of all ages, basically. And I think it is somewhat related to passion and to the willingness to learn new stuff and to care about it outside your work hours and improve yourself. It's a problem, and I think the problem is bigger if the team is bigger, because then you're more likely to have someone who sets a really low common denominator. So my current team is quite big, and it certainly is a struggle to introduce new techniques which everyone accepts, and the whole team has to accept it, because we are also doing some kind of second level operations work, and everyone has to be able to quickly fix everything. Because we have we provide a service with quite strict SLAs, and in the night, if someone has to be fixed in an hour or two, it's not possible to get the author of it.
I can tell you that we have a team of people, and as you're saying, if you need to do something new, or say you need to do something in a new language, I, as a manager, face a dilemma: either hire a guy who already knows this something,
mm-hmm.
or have one of our people learn this something. And what we see that the best people that we have in the team are doing great on any language. If something new comes up, for me it's much more safe to tell this guy who we know and professional. Go ahead and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So now he knows something else, and they are not resisting at all, and that's the best result.
I can see your, what you're saying, but how probable would it be for this given person you're choosing, that when you go to him and tell him you should learn this language, he would answer, "Oh, but I already know it," or "I've already read this many blog posts or a book and a half," because he's passionate, because he goes home and reads about that, or when he's waiting for the compilation or for the IDE to start, he's got a book there and reads 10 pages.
Well, the chances are slim that if you're a Java developer and you are interested in HTML5, and all of a sudden, I, as a manager, also need the HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that the management of the company shouldn't force them to do it on their own time. If you need it for a job, let them do it during the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. I'm not saying that people should, that as a manager, I should tell anyone to do anything for the job or their extra time. But what I've done as a manager was allocate 30 minutes a day for people to, every single day, first thing in the morning, do some practicing on whatever they wanted. I suggested always to practice coding dojos and DDD, and forget about other languages, just practice DDD. It's way, way simpler. It's a very small scope. And I would sit with them and I would... You mean we can spend 30 minutes in something that's not work? Yeah, absolutely. That's my responsibility. If someone from the upper management comes to you and then you send them to me and I will discuss them.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you that there's a need for a slack time. I agree with you that I should not be telling people what to do when they are out. But at the same time, I'm surprised that working on technology which keeps on changing, that requires this much learning, many don't consider spending some time out of the office for their own improvement and their own growth.
Mm.
Okay? Okay, when you're out, you can learn Python, you can learn GoToWebinar, you can learn whatever you want.
But you can also watch TV.
Absolutely.
Some people like watching TV and drinking beer.
That's perfectly fine. But then, once every month, it doesn't hurt to go to a Java user group presentation on Groovy and Spot. And yet, it's really difficult. I got to a point where I convinced my boss to take 5 people from the office to a hackathon, and I convinced him to not get 1 day of holidays from their accounts. I couldn't find 5 people who would like to, just for 1 day, leave the office for free, as if they were working, and to go to a hackathon. I could only find 3 in a group of 60. That's what really bothers me.
It means that this is the wrong team in general. It tells me these 60 people are not software developers. They are software developers by chance. Something happened in their lives. They want to make really more money because the job market is better. But they are not programmers. They are not professionals. There is nothing you can do. You can fire 55 people, 57, right? That's the only choice that you have. But of course you cannot do this properly.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be the right solution in the capitalist world.
Uh-huh. But I found myself in the dilemma: should I change the team's mind, or should I change the upper management mind? Because the upper management mind was pushing for the scaling up, while I was pushing for the scaling up, and I was saying, no, we need more training, we need more platform, and we need to change the people that we have. We don't need to get more people. And at some point he said, no, you can hire 20 more developers. And I said, I don't want 20 more developers.
Replace me with 20.
No, I don't even want to replace 20. I want the 60 that I already have, that I already know, and who already know the business, to be better. I want more slack time.
Do they want to be better?
That's a good point.
If you are Don Quixote, then go ahead and fight. Maybe you will succeed.
I don't think you can force them, but maybe you can put down some incentives. Maybe form a special team for the really interesting stuff you do, and make it clear people have to put in extra effort to get into that team.
No, but he gave an excellent example.
And then you can think what to do with the
rest
of them.
What kind of motivation do you need? You are being told that instead of coming to work on Friday, you go to the hackathon.
Yeah, I'm at the hackathon.
And what other motivation do you need? Do we need to pay you extra to go there? So, instead of going to work, I don't know, I don't believe it.
I think maybe these people, like you said earlier, when they started as software engineers, maybe they were passionate, and the culture of the company maybe killed it. We tried to because we're a distributed team, people were from home a lot and from, you know, all over the area. We get them together once a month. We have a team day, and we try and get everybody together. Also, you don't have to come if you don't want to, but we have a nice lunch, and then we either have an hackathon, internal hackathon for the whole day. We choose 3 problems, and we divide up in teams, and we have a prize. Or we have somebody presents some technical thing that they've read up on, and they present it to everybody else. Sort of like a conference type thing. And that it's just that culture of continuous learning and internally, you know, everybody, it's not from above that you have to do this, you have to learn this now. It's you have those every Wednesday, we have the team day, and also we have 10% time, so I think we do all 20% time, but we give them 10%, so it's one afternoon in the week that you can work every week on whatever you want, your own idea, learn something new, surf Reddit if you want to, whatever you want to do. And it's just, it's a culture of, we give you the freedom to grow your passion, and if you're passionate about software development, if you're a real programmer like Jakob says, then you'll use that time to
I can also, now I'm thinking about that hackathon offer again of yours. I think that the other reason can be that only three people agreed to go there because other people are afraid. They are afraid to show that they are not strong enough as software developers to participate in a hackathon. They may be too shy. So if you would, instead of a hackathon, if you would offer them learning, like lecturing on something every week, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, they would be sitting in the classroom with great pleasure and learning something. But they are not leaders. They are not. They don't feel strong yet.
Maybe they are not outspoken enough, just more shy.
Yes, maybe they are shy.
But there's one other thing. I don't know about the stress level in your company. My company this summer had an internal table soccer tournament, and most of the games were during work hours, and you just went there and played.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great fun, and I talked with several guys. I think two or three guys told me they didn't go for it because they have so much work to do. So maybe some of the guys felt they cannot go to the hackathon because they will fall behind schedule.
I understand. I couldn't change their schedule when the hackathon thing, but when allocating these 30 minutes every morning, I could and I tried to, and I found that yet what they did is okay. I got this 10% less workload, means I got another 10% to go for a coffee or just relax on the rest of the tasks. Or
but you need to check on that. And first of all, I'm not sure that spending 30 minutes a day is a good idea. What can you do in 30 minutes? Maybe you combine them. 5 multiplied by 30 is 2.5 hours, right? Like Richard says, afternoon. But
mm-hmm.
ask them for a report.
Or a lightning talk.
Once or a lightning talk, right? Either speak for 15 minutes saying what have you learned in this Friday afternoon, or send me a report saying I learned this and this and this.
Okay, the format and why it was 30 minutes is that in a coding kata, you are meant, you know coding katas? Or
no.
Coding dojos?
Yes. Really convinced.
What is it?
No, it's just a format.
Yeah.
The outcome is yes. We could debate about that. You have 30 minutes to solve a known problem, and there are some catalogs in the internet. And so my proposal to them is, okay, for these 2 weeks, you're meant every morning, or you can every morning, try to solve the same problem and use different languages, use different tools, get familiar with this, try to solve it without using if statements, and so on and so forth. And every 2 weeks on Friday, I would gather all the teams with all the guys I was doing that, and I would ask them, okay, what have you learned? And every day, at the end of these 30 minutes, I would tell them, okay, just write down what have you learned or what have you practiced, because in 2 weeks I will ask for this report. And said after 2 weeks, okay, how was this run? Oh, I could only do 3 days out of 10. What do you mean you could only do? You have all you need. You have the tools. You have the time. What you're missing is the will.
See, you are putting an extra pressure on people. You are putting them in a stressful situation by doing this. I don't think you're helping your team. You're making things worse.
It sounds a bit like a test situation.
Yeah. Did you fix a problem this morning? You did not. I gave you 30 minutes to fix a problem. And you, I would leave this company. If I would be a junior veteran, I consider it as an extra pressure, unneeded pressure from the management.
Well, it is certainly hard to get people to do something new without any pressure.
I'm not following. It was not a work-related problem.
I understand, but you are forcing me to fix some problem that other people are facing. I am not strong enough. I can't. I'm afraid.
These programming exercises are just a fizzbuzz or a backwards counting
like a poly game score.
They're very simple exercises.
They're extremely simple. They are first degree exercises.
The equivalent of going to the gym for programming is just a very simple repetitive exercise.
I'll ask you for a link, maybe I'll look at it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I'm not sure I understand how it works.
It shouldn't be any matter at all about being able to solve them. The question is just how you solve them.
Yes, exactly.
So you're putting... See, people who got into your company, they went through technical interviews, right? And what you are doing now, you give them a technical interview every day.
No. And what I'm saying is, okay, the problem is simple. I know you can solve it. Just use this as an excuse not to think of the problem, but to tackle the tools and to tackle the process. That's the idea of a coding dojo. It's like a piano player.
Then I don't like.
So it's like everybody knows how to do bubble sorts. Now you tell somebody you want to do.
No, not everybody.
Okay.
Many people know.
It's like an array with 1 to 100.
You can fire the other one.
Yeah. Then you can fire them. So you tell them, you want to learn Python? Now do bubble sort in Python. You know, already know how to do bubble sort or whatever, some known. But it's a problem that you can solve, and it gives you the opportunity to learn Python or to use IntelliJ instead of Eclipse.
If we'll go back to this analogy with piano playing, if I like playing piano, or if you want your kid to play piano, tell him, Mary, every morning play piano for 30 minutes. She may or may not do. The other choice is, Mary, you need to play piano 30 minutes every day, and after that, a piano teacher will come and check on you how you did.
No.
It's a different story.
No one was checking on what they and how they were improving. The question was meant for them to share what they have checked and what they were investigating. And at some point, I said, okay. Some guy said, I did it in Clojure, and the others went, well, what's Clojure? Tell me more about it. That day I felt extremely happy. Someone had jumped completely out of their comfort zone, and at least two or three felt a bit interested in that. But that just was a bright spot that was missed in the wind after that. About the piano playing, someone who's playing piano will just go and practice so it's very repetitive. They are not playing any music, they are just doing some exercises and some chords and so on and so forth. But that's for them to feel comfortable, and at some point when they're playing a certain tune, they see, okay, if I'm playing this chord, I will probably be playing that chord because they are harmony. They go together. And that part of the practice is not playing the tune, but practicing some movements. And the idea is to practice this movement. That's why I chose this kind of problems. And by creating the habit of first thing in the morning, what I do is practicing, and I get up to speed for the rest of the day. I push it in the morning. I don't know if it's the best solution. I don't know if the approach of you have 20% off, just do what you want, is better. I have no idea. That's what I chose. And so you don't have other options.
I can tell you that the 10% to just do what you want doesn't really work. People also don't take that time. And what did work was getting them together, and the hackathon worked really well because they could form groups and help each other. And it just takes a bit more of the pressure of self-organizing themselves. You take off their shoulders. You tell them, okay. These are three problems, pick one of them, solve that problem. And the teams, and people somehow, if they have to self-organize something, then they can't do it. I don't know, the half an hour to me again sounds like a very good idea. I'm actually going to try that with us in our company. That might be a good for specifically, like you say, it's like a piano scale. It's just the get you into the day and get you thinking of going.
So in my company, taking half an hour a day to do some not directly work-related stuff, it's just something I think most people do, and it's an unspoken thing, you do it because...
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, yes, because in we do Scrum and in the sprint planning, we allow for the extra slack, and there's no, when you're finished, there's no pressure to start something new till the end.
So basically what you're saying...
There's a pressure to help the other team members, which already is very good to... the other team members are not finished yet.
So the other thing, the other way to look at it, that you said is, say, I work for you in your team. I'm thinking, I was always having half an hour doing whatever I want, and now he forces me to use his half an hour to do what he wants.
No. That was the original proposal, and it was as an experiment, but I was not forcing everyone to do that.
Yeah, you're asking.
I suggest you do this because this way we will be able to compare results. But if you want to go and do something else, no, that's just fine.
It's not easy. Not an easy answer to your problem.
I know. By the way, I ended up giving up and just changed jobs. A very small company where everyone has the mindset of or the maturity to get these 30 minutes knowing what the outcome may be, which is having a feature late or having to stay them extra 30 minutes, but knowing that they have to invest on themselves, it's their responsibility, not someone else to say, okay, you have to learn this, you have to.
And basically, in my opinion, You did the right thing. If you found a team that is stronger, I think that ideal situation is if you are the weakest person on the team, then you can learn a lot. And what you try to do in the best company, you've been the strongest probably person or the most motivated person on the team, at least, right?
I couldn't tell.
But what's your career path? Are you planning to stay as a software developer or as a manager?
No, I actually went on the direction of development.
But you've been acting as a manager.
I've been acting as a manager, and quite recently in January, I was given more responsibility and less development, and. Well, for several other reasons.
So you are moving towards the management career?
No, I was pushed into the management direction. And when I was promoted at that point, they said, okay, but I need to take care of this, and that. Sure, absolutely, you'll be responsible for this. And 6 months later,
you left the company.
I left the company because all these things I were promised were not being put into place, because at any given moment, there was always some management task.
So it was an experiment on you, technically, 6 months, which has proven that you cannot manage software developers the way you want.
The slack time experiment with the Balin Dojo was prior to this promotion. It happened during a period of time when I still had a 50-50 time of management and development. The dosage experiment ended maybe a month later. I had been promoted, but it ended for some other reasons. I don't think I'm a good manager, and I think I'm not a good manager because it doesn't motivate me. I feel like I'm a software engineer or a developer or call it whatever. And I want to learn more about managing. about management anyway. Like it was my daily task.
I can like really learn. Do you know the name Dr. Adizes? I highly recommend you. He wrote a bunch of books on project management, and he has a series of podcasts. Mm-hmm. You can listen to them, like lecture. I-C-H-K Ichak Adizes, A-D-E-Z-E-S. He's managing company, he's consulting even governments how to manage, how to go to. He goes step by step, he explains there's a problem, there's a change, you need to make the right decision, then you need to make sure that somebody implements this decision, and who can be against it, and so on. It's very useful. But coming back to our discussion, if you are a software developer, and I am a software developer, it would be very hard for you to convince me doing something, unless I respect you so much for your technical skills, but I look at you like like you're a god,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be like you. In this case, I will be listening to you. Otherwise, I won't. Who are you to tell me what to do and what to learn? If you are my manager, that's a different story. You are supposed to tell me what to do, so I would not be resisting as much.
I don't really agree on that point. Because the manager only tells you what to do and not necessarily how to do it.
But at least I can accept.
I would much more trust another developer who can show me how to do something better.
But Ignatius, you are not showing how to do something better in this case. You are telling what to do.
Every single person in the experiment would have been with me for the first 2 weeks. So it was a pair programming thing, mm-hmm. Instead of doing it by their own, on the first iteration, I would personally sit with each of them, and then they would be changing pairs every 2 weeks.
Do you believe in pair programming?
We were not doing pair programming at the office. That was not the thing. But what I'm saying is, I would go there and show them what I think could be a way to start, and by the end of each day, by sitting with them, I would insist on, okay, let's write down what we have learned. Let's see what we've seen during the morning, but we didn't have time to investigate further. And maybe these things we couldn't investigate further is the things we can tackle tomorrow. Or let's see how far we got on the exercise. And so the day after I would go back, okay, let's see how far we got on the exercise as compared to yesterday. Let's see what of the things we learned yesterday we could apply today. And let's see what of the missing things we left yesterday we could tackle today. And I was trying to create this set of questions that you keep on asking yourself and help you grow. And by that, try to create this habit. So I don't know if they respect me technically, but I try to see if we
no, respect. It's not strong word enough. They should worship you. If they don't worship you,
well,
which probably was not the case, then you don't have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Respect, I respect you too, and I respect my peers. It's mm-hmm. not good enough for them to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That might also be a culture thing, a team culture, the different roles in a team.
Too many leaders in a team, you mean?
No, I think it's in some teams you have that there's respect, mutual respect in the team, but people want to learn from each other. They don't mind people suggesting. Whereas in other teams, you don't have that. You have people that are more defensive about their skills and
Richard, it's a continuation of our yesterday discussion about the startups and about hiring people. Not every company can afford to cherry pick and keep only the best.
Yes.
Mutual respect and everything. In this example, there were 60 people hired by somebody somehow, and they had to live together in this company.
Yeah.
So in our company, in our startup, we can and we do that. We fire people. It's not nice, it's
yes.
bad, but we do that, and we have a team that we like and trust, and we keep them. We don't have work for them. We pay our own money as owners of the company just to keep them, because it's very difficult and expensive to find another guy like this if you let them go.
Yeah, you're right. It's very important to for team culture and so on to have the right people that fit into that team culture,
mm-hmm.
fit into, you know, being passionate. It's more about, there's a lot more than technical skills.
Of course.
The right people, there's a lot more to it than just technical
skills.
And that's difficult to find out in the recruiting phase, is that part, do they fit into
the You have to have the right to hire and fire. If you don't have it, it's very difficult.
I like the point of pruning the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had a similar discussion too. We wanted to fire this and that guy, and we have said that it was not possible because, okay, the learning curve of the business and so on and so forth. Anyway.
We'll continue some other time.